Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. We want to welcome also those who are joining us on the World Wide Web. Today we're going to be looking at the truth of the apostolic period versus the error of Emperor Constantine. We will be specifically looking at the nature of the church in the apostolic period. How did the early Christian church begin? What type of church was it? Well, what is a church? Well, the church is not, first of all, a towering steeple, but rather it's a people who are called out to be separate from the world. The church also is not grounded in real estate, but it's grounded in Christian relationships. The church is not a building of bricks and mortar, but the church is the body of Christ, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And those who would lead this body in worship and mission are qualified by the Holy Spirit. They're not qualified, they're not approved by any human institution. When we come to the New Testament, we find that the churches in the New Testament had certain characteristics. The churches were very small, very personal. And these small, personal churches were largely home churches. And we'd like to look at several texts this morning clearly indicating that the early Christian churches were personal, small, and most of them being home churches. Let's look first at chapter 16 of the book of Romans. And we will be starting with verse 1 and looking at verses 1 through 5. Here we have the setting of Priscilla and Aquila, friends of the apostles. Chapter 16, verse 1 reads, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, of myself also, that is, a helper. And she obviously was a very generous person, this Phoebe. And then in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Jesus Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So Aquila and Priscilla were very close friends of Paul. Also, Aquila and Priscilla were generous. We know from other passages that they were indeed tent makers, and that Paul stayed with them for a time and worked with them as tent makers. He himself was a tent maker, self-supporting tent maker. And at one point, they, according to Paul, were willing to lay down their lives for him. And he wants to thank them for this. And he also says that he sends his greetings to the churches of the Gentiles. And then he specifically mentions greeting the church that is in their house, that is the house of Aquila and Priscilla. So clearly there was a house setting in this particular passage in Romans 16. Now, let's come to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we'll be looking at verse 19, and we'll see here another example of a home church. Verse 19 of chapter 16, 1 Corinthians. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you, much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. And so here again, Paul is mentioning the church that is meeting in the home of Aquila and Priscilla. And then over in Colossians chapter 4, verse 15, we have another example of a home church in operation. Colossians 4, verses 15, let's read the 16th verse as well. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So here, Nymphas, a brother by the name of Nymphas is named, and Paul sends specific greetings to those who are worshiping in his home. And then in Philemon, verse 55, we have another example of the home church. Philemon, that would be verses 1 and 2. Philemon, verses 1 and 2. The epistle of Paul to the apostle, to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Again, it's very clear that there was a church in the house of this brother, Archippus, and Paul is sending special greetings to the people here in his home. So we need to note that these apostles were indeed laymen. They were unsalaried. They were self-supporting. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were called of God. And being laymen, being non-professionals, as we would say, professional clergy are those who are paid a salary. These brothers were not paid salaries. They were given gifts from time to time, free will gifts. They were given assistance, room and board. But they were laymen, unsalaried, definitely filled with the Holy Spirit, called of God. And what kind of work did they do for Christ? They baptized, they preached, they taught, and they were very successful, not in their own strength, but through the blessings of the Holy Spirit. So we need to realize that the Christian church was launched by laymen, blue-collar workers, we would call them today. They were self-supporting blue-collar workers. Paul, for instance, was a tent maker. Christ himself was a carpenter. Luke was a physician. The apostle Matthew was a tax collector. And Peter and Andrew were fishermen. James and John were of the general working class. And they didn't attend a seminary before they could be witnesses for Christ, before they could be his servants. Their seminary degree was issued by the Holy Spirit. Their diploma was also issued by the Holy Spirit because they were filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. So their seminary was the School of Tribulation. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 23 to see some of the types of tribulation that these early apostles had to face. Acts 14, starting with verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So they stoned him to the point that they thought he was dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, Paul, he rose up. He wasn't dead. He rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Just because Paul had been stoned nearly to death, didn't stop him. It only made him that much more determined to preach the word. And so he and his fellow disciples continue to preach the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And it's no different today, brother and sister. There will be much tribulation for those who follow Christ. That we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders, every church had prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So their seminary, again, was the school of tribulation. They didn't have salaries. They didn't have an easy road. They didn't have perks given by some central church office. No, they were independent, blue-collar laborers, self-supporting, preaching the gospel. Notice also that we have very limited organization. In these small personal churches, they were instructed that they should ordain elders in every church. Now, the purpose of an elder is to provide leadership for a group. And the purpose of a deacon is to provide services. Of course, the elder also is a servant. But the special function of a deacon is to provide services. And that is the same function of the deaconess as well. Well, how effective were these laymen as evangelists? Well, in Acts chapter 16, verse 5, we're told that the witnesses and the converts to Christ increased daily. Acts 16, 5, Acts 16, 10, 1 and 2. We're told that the entire house of Cornelius was converted. And in Acts 16, verses 14 and 15, we read that Lydia, the seller of purple, and a very fine servant of the early church, Lydia and her whole household were baptized. And then in Acts chapter 16, we read that when Paul was in jail and the angels brought him out, that the jailer was afraid for his life, was about to take his life. And Paul said, "No, don't take your life. We're still here." And the jailer was converted and took Paul and his friends to his home. And they had a meal together. So we have seen that the apostolic churches were very small in number. They didn't have many church members, and I think this is a very fine lesson for us today. When churches get too large, the personal quality, the family quality is lost. The family relationship is lost. And the church ought to be a binding of like family, a spiritual family. So these early churches were small in number. They didn't have a lot of members. And my suggestion would be that when a church reaches somewhere between 40 and 50 members, it's time to spawn a new church so that the atmosphere of home, the personal atmosphere, can be maintained. The early church we've seen also is a very personal church, small, personal. There were a lot of these churches scattered around over the countryside and in the cities and in the villages. And we also have noted that the organization was local organization. There was no central church office, but rather each group, each local church group, selected elders, and we don't have time this morning to get into deacons and deaconesses, but they also selected deacons and deaconesses. If you'd like to read about those, you can go to Philippians chapter 1, in 1 Timothy 3 and Acts chapter 6. The word deaconess is not actually found in Scripture, but we know that there were many females who were servants, and therefore the word deacon simply means servant, so a deaconess would be a female servant. So the local organization was simple. They had elders, deacons, and deaconesses. The churches were founded by lay people, were directed by lay people, supported by lay people. They had very simple structures, such as structures, or they met in homes. Their churches were very small, or they were home churches. And the most important aspect of the early church was that the leaders were called by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The ministry to the Christian family in the apostolic period was considered a calling. It was not considered a job. This is very clear in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Peter here is addressing the elders, and he says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." So the early apostles did not receive salaries. Peter says he is not preaching for filthy lucre. He is not serving for filthy lucre. But rather, he's doing it willingly, out of love. And this is how our pastors today should operate, being servants out of love, not receiving filthy lucre, as Peter says here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. So, the question arises then, how did large churches, such as those we see today, how did salaried pastors, such as many churches have today, in fact most churches have today, and where did a scheme for supporting these churches and these large buildings come from? Well, next Sabbath we're going to be looking at that, and we'll see that the key instrument in these changes came about at the time of Emperor Constantine and largely through his influence. So we look forward to seeing you next Sabbath, and I know you'll want to see how historically the apostolic church, the pattern for the apostolic church, was completely changed during the time of the Roman Emperor Constantine. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the recording of the apostolic church and the apostles. We're happy that you have given us a record, a pattern that we should follow today for success in evangelism. We ask that you will bless us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit will rest heavily upon us, that the guardian angels will protect us, and that we shall be able to return next Sabbath to continue this study and to worship you in spirit and in truth. In the lovely name of Jesus we pray. Amen.